Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jay Binkley, Pete Sweeney, Kristen Ocero.
8 o'clock.
Blues.
8:01 p.m.
8:01 p.m. and it's still daylight.
Bink at dusk.
I'm not used to this, Pete. I kind of liked it when it was dark at like 5 o'clock. Actually, I don't. I like it when it's daylight longer because it feels like your day's longer. But man, I remember coming in here and it'd be dark right when I'd start. That was really like
you like that?
Night. Yeah. It was more fitting to the show, you know.
Right. This is Bink at Dusk.
Because I like night shows, kind of where I cut my teeth, you know.
I can't believe how bright it is still in Kansas City right now at 8:01.
And it's not raining. And that's
beautiful.
There's rain everywhere, too. I mean, there's standing water in different places. Last night, I went through some standing water. Whoa. Didn't even see it.
Hot weather takes here on Bink at Night.
Well, I went right through it, you know? Just right through
it. Did you dive right in? Or
this is all for your – you need your weather covered right here? You need to talk about how it's dusk here at 8:02 p.m.? I know. This is your home right here.
Well, there's tornado warnings
weather
and
Atchison
and all this, and it's red on the radar here.
Bink, next time in standing water, you got to get out and cannonball right in, baby.
Yeah, you just got to dive in.
Cannonball. Is it going to be warm enough to swim next weekend on Memorial Day weekend?
I don't know.
I would probably say it's a safe bet considering that it's almost summer.
Mahomes on the Barstool podcast. I think it's interesting he's doing these podcasts with Anthony Sherman. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it's
that
great.
Mahomes went out and did this podcast. It's very cool that he did that. And here's what Mahomes had to say.
How far do you think you could have thrown the ball if you had played that game in Mexico City?
Probably 100.
100?
Yeah, because yeah, I got it like 80, 83 in Denver, and then you have to times it by two because it's like 2 miles above altitude.
Yeah, it's the highest stadium in the world. Damn. Yeah.
All right. It's Mahomes on Barstool. All right, NFL.com picked this up, Pete. And Denver's altitude is right around 5,280 feet, 1 mile, of course, because it's Mile High Stadium. Estadio Azteca sits at 7,280 feet above sea level, about 1.4 miles. Denver's about 1 mile in the air. And can you get the Mile High Club? Never mind. Wow. It sits at 1.4 miles. Well, I mean, would it count? 1.4 miles.
I think you have to be in the air for that to work.
I'm just asking. I mean,
you have to be a mile above the air, not a mile above sea level. So
weather talk and Mile High Talk.
Mile High Talk here so on Bink at Night.
Anybody gets it on Denver, kind of, right? But anyway, it's different. I'm sorry. This is a night show. But 7,280 above sea level, 100 yards in the air. Mahomes thinks he can do it. We got in a debate earlier because I don't want to see him throw his arm out either. Like, you can do that. And I know that I said the word Tommy John earlier in the text line. I was like, you can't get Tommy John. Delhomme had Tommy John. Carson Palmer was supposed to have it. He didn't. He set out.
Delhomme. I haven't heard Delhomme in years.
Like, I'm worried about C-Dot throwing his arm out tomorrow. Trying to throw 50 yards. You know, he's not used to throwing footballs like that.
He has a nice warm-up regimen, and it sounds like it's from his trainer. I'm forgetting his name, but he trains with the guy in Tyler, Texas in the offseason prior to coming back to Kansas City. And
Jordan Palmer was somebody who worked with him before the draft.
Yeah.
He worked with Drew Lock too.
And the type of motions that he goes to and trains in the offseason is for that type of, like, body flexibility. I mean, you see during the season when they do slow-motion replays that he can contort. And if you notice, there's always – it's almost like a long toss that you see like a shortstop and a third baseman do before the game, where Pat is almost throwing the ball the length of a field or at least 50, 60 yards prior.
Oh, that's the media's favorite thing.
Yeah.
Office for the day. And
the Chiefs loves to make, memes off it where it's like he's throwing it into the moon. But yeah, so I think he's warmed up. I wouldn't really worry about him throwing his arm out. I don't think there's anything stop. I mean, think about it. If you're throwing 83 to 85 yards on a normal day with a little wind behind you, why not? Why not be able to throw it? I hope we get to see it, whether it be to, you know, Sammy, Tyreek, or
you can't do it during the game, Pete. You have to have good.
Yeah,
good,
you put it, you on the put you on the 1 yard line.
You gotta have good protection when you do that. You
know, yeah, you bring an extra tight end in
because. Tyreek, for all intents and purposes, will be back because that's late in the season. What, week 11?
Yeah. I mean, I guess
Hardman,
every day, the longer that whole dilemma goes on, I more and more likely to me that it'll be on the team.
Oh yeah, 100%.
For better or for worse, whether it be, you know, but anyway, whether it be Hardman or Watkins or whatever it winds up being, yeah, you put him on the one. You know, you air the ball out, see what happens. I
can
think
you get down the field fast enough with the protection.
You know, here's the thing.
You know how fast you got to get down the field, Pete, for that.
You bring in a six offensive lineman. And you say, here we go.
I mean, you got to take some of the air out of the ball because it's got to
keep
be
a running back
kind of
back
a
there. But yes, yeah, so no, that would be incredible. I have found too where Andy Reid and Pat. Do I think sometimes when they get into the mix of the season, they downplay the strength of his arm. But you know that it's the thing because what do they do the first play of every preseason game? That ball's flying.
Well, the one in Atlanta last year was the longest one of the year, I do believe.
The preseason game? Yes.
How far was that in the air? It was like 70-something yards in the air.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact.
67, I believe.
But everybody talked about it because your post-game was all it was the throw.
Yeah, Wicket was real excited about
the throw.
Oh, he was. That's all he talked about in post-game that day.
Here's what we're going to talk about, the throw.
We're going to play it with all this wrestling music behind it every time we come back from break.
It was an impressive
throw. All right, play the Steve Austin with it.
It was 69 yards to Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, and what was interesting about that is it was longer than any throw in the air from the previous season. Mm-hmm. Like, that had to turn your head, too, even in the preseason last year. It was a big deal because you started to realize, I think, from the get-go that this was a different cat when it came to throwing the football.
I want to see him do that this year. That's what I
mean, do what?
The deep ball. I mean, we saw it a lot with him, but I want to see that cannon uncorked.
I do.
You know, the new look passes.
And I think
are great
that's why
that.
The Chiefs went speed. I mean,
I know. I just want to see uncork down the field.
I tend to think that McColl is going to be more of a return guy to begin this year.
They kind of get acclimated in. Like Tyreek Hill did. Remember 2016, Tyreek Hill, you had to kind of slowly acclimate him.
Yeah,
to the
by the end of the year, I mean, who knows? Maybe there's enough in there where it's a little bit more regular that you see him. But again, if McColl has that Sammy Watkins, Tyreek type speed, and he can catch the football. You see them already jarring back and forth on Twitter. Make sure you keep running. Then I think.
Sorry, you have a cannon for an arm or something like that.
Yeah, if McColl has that type of speed and Pat can get it to him, I mean, it can open things up anyway because you just can't. You got to have two guys back on. You can't keep getting beat over the top by McColl Hardman. So it's going to be a fun year, and I think they went up and got that kid for a reason. Probably a little bit of insurance. I think that's real. And again, I think the Jets were interested, so it was good that they ended up trading up if they really wanted that player. I know some of my guys at Arrowhead Pride, Matt Lane in particular, not a huge fan.
No, I talked to Matt about that before. He's not.
But who knows? I mean, just remains to be seen. I think Pat Mahomes is the type of quarterback that's going to make everybody better, so who knows what they can get out of that rookie.
What wide receiver kind of stands out to us in training camp is it going to be Byron Pringle? Because remember, he was hurt last year, but 6'2", over 200 pounds. People really like Pringle.
Yeah, Pringle, we talked about Veach in the last segment. Veach really.
Jamal Custis, another one of those guys.
You know how I feel about Custis.
Well, he's Syracuse guy. They paid him $100,000.
Yeah. No, I think Pringle more so than Custis because I think he was really coming to his own. He had that great preseason
game.
He's a big
receiver.
I think they like that he's big, a big target. And he's back again. And again, you look at the wide receiver room. That thing's wide open once you get past the third
Marcus
or fourth
Kemp,
receiver.
Custis, all these. So, I think the Marcus Robinson is a little bit ahead of him. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, but
it's a whole slew of guys.
Sure,
like Derek Dieter and all the rest.
Marcus Kemp. If you look at the beginning of the season and you take into consideration the Sammy suspension, right? McColl's going to be on the team. Sammy's going to be on the team. DeMarcus going to be on the team. After that, it gets a little bit more muddled, and that'll be an interesting position group to watch. And running backs again for the second year in a row is going to be fun to watch. And again, that's already two reasons to go to St. Joseph when it's skill position players.
No, I think so too, because Carlos Hyde, you know, they bring him in as that offensive acquisition this year. And you know, you draft Darwin Thompson, James Williams, very excited about already getting the jersey number for the Chiefs. He's already tweeting out about his jersey.
I mean,
you're able to get on NFL.com.
Cloud nine.
No, he is. He already's got a picture coming out of the tunnel and everything. But there's another guy.
let's make the team first.
I know. But man, poor James. He really wants. He's going to make the practice squad at least.
Yes.
Unless he's picked up.
I agree.
But you're talking about a guy with 560 yards rushing last year, 83 catches for Mike Leach's offense with Gardner Minshew throwing it to him out there. They're going to have choices. And again, who's going to be the guy cut? Are we going to be? Because Colquitt got a big contract.
Yeah.
You guys had a nice article about how Colquitt might get pushed like Cairo Santos did this year.
Yeah.
Like when he was here when Cairo Santos won the job.
You just look at the contracts. I mean, it seems like a contract that you could do away with, save a little bit of money if the guy is there. And again, that's not an easy decision.
You didn't need a punter much. I don't want his name is Jack Fox.
Jack Fox. Yeah, I don't want to see Dustin Colquitt cut. I think he's the greatest punter in the history of the game of football. I really do. If you really look at the numbers inside the 20, those stats. He's right there.
Which was important for the defense we had
last
year.
You talk about Hall of Famers. Dustin Colquitt's going to be a Hall of Famer.
But a different defense, a more improved defense, and a quarterback like Pat Mahomes, does it become expendable?
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. I mean, and
like
he's beloved in Kansas
his job
City.
To Santos.
Right, I think that could be a surprise, you know, keep and a surprise cut at the 53. But the good thing about Dustin is, I mean, he would land on his feet and find a job in one
second. Oh, no question about Dustin Colquitt's but, one of the finest players.
But, yeah, again, I think that's right there. And, you know, there are certain guys you see. Dan Sorensen's another one.
That's what I was going to ask you. Who's more of a cut candidate, Sorensen or Colquitt?
To me, it's Sorensen.
Okay.
I don't.
The safety's so deep.
I don't think they're bringing back Colquitt on what was a discount deal because he wanted to stay here if he still.
But you got Lucas and Watts.
Right. I think the Chiefs really like what they have in those guys. I think they have their free safety starter in the rookie. I think Juan Thornhill starts day one. So then you're looking at depth and you're looking at different packages. It also depends on what Steve Spagnuolo is building. That secondary has been called a secondary guy. So what does he have in store? Is it even going to make sense to keep another safety on this team? And again, when you can save a little bit of money, that unfortunately for Sorensen, who's a great guy, works really hard, makes you a little bit expendable. Good thing about him. Is he's going to hear these type of things and come in hungry. Same thing I think about a guy like Reggie Ragland, who is now suddenly on the bubble a little bit there.
I think he's extremely on the bubble.
But they got to come in motivated, and I think that's what you want as you're building a program.
Because the league's going away from guys like Ragland.
Yeah.
It's going with smaller, quicker guys.
And the way the league
does, because you're in the nickel more than you are in the 4-3.
Guys that are knee ready when training camp begins. I think that's the key.
We talk about the 4-3 and stuff like this. You know, you talk to guys like Craig Stout and stuff and say, probably only going to be 20% actually in the base package.
It's that linebacker safety hybrid. I mean, talk to my guy, Sean Barber. I bet you he wishes he was playing in this type of league. Like, that was the type of player that he was, where you can scoot a little bit, you can come up, you can tackle big. I think that's what the Chiefs are building.
Well, speaking of safeties, the Honey Badger. He's got somebody after him a little bit, and he does care because he told you and I he didn't care, but he does care. Let's talk about the front page article, arrowheadpride.com, and it's making its rounds, the extortion case. Someone's trying to get money from the Honey Badger. We'll describe that next.
Bank at Night.
Welcome back to Bank at Night. Jay Bank, Lee Christen with Sarah, producing the operation. Pete Sweeney, arrowheadpride.com editor-in-chief, sitting next to me, and he's not doing much but website stuff because Chiefs won't let him go out there till Thursday.
The hell?
Sorry, Pete.
Back in the day, he used to be out there every day.
Back in the day, you were there out there with me at a few beers. We checked out a few breweries.
This weekend?
Yeah, checked out a few
things. Last weekend, sure, that was good.
Good weekend, good time. Good hanging out with old Pete. Good talking Chiefs. It was a night of talking Chiefs. Like when Pete and I get together, we talk Chiefs.
Chiefs, beer, life, pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
All the above.
Yeah. Peanut, big fans of Pete. We found that out.
I mean, I'm a big fan of the Peanut. Big wing guy. I think it's the best chicken wings that I've had. And I've had buffalo wings.
It's considered that. I need to take you to Owls sometime, too.
People keep saying
it's
Owls. I haven't had Owls.
It's that place, I told you, it's Buffalo Bills fans where they all meet and stuff. Buffalo News did an article about them. And Kansas City considers Peanut and Owls some of the best wings in the city.
Come for the barbecue, stay for the wings, baby.
All right, Pete, you're making me hungry. All right. Man charged an extortion attempt against the Honey Badger. What's going on? Because Honey Badger got engaged. He was down in New Orleans, where he's from, was down there doing a bunch of stuff. And according to a federal affidavit reviewed, Jervon Sears, a distant relative of the Honey Badger, is accused of telephoning and texting Tyran that when he threatened to go to the media with allegations of sexual assault, he wanted $5 million originally, which is insane. And he goes, I'm done talking, emailing TMZ now. And then he called the Honey Badger in Kansas City in April demanding $1.5 million deposited into his account. He says, I want $1.5 million by Friday or I'm going to kill you all.
Yeah.
Sounds like a nice guy.
Sounds like a real psychopath. And I just want to apologize to everyone who went to arrowheadpride.com and saw extortion today because I'm sure at this point you're truly ready.
Yeah, let's get some good stuff, man. How about Mahomes throwing 100 yards
off the field?
Come on.
Off the field stuff that has gone on.
Make fun of Breland's Peaks or something on the front of your page.
You know, here's what we're going to do.
I think you guys got to stop fat shaming, first of all. All of you all.
I see the photo floating around social media, Breland.
Chris, you and I aren't exactly.
And yeah, I mean, it doesn't look great, but let's get
maybe switching positions.
Let's give him a. I mean, they do.
I don't think he's.
He looks like an offensive tackle.
They do take a conditioning test. They do take a conditioning test at the end of OTAs. You know, if he's not there, I'm sure it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, he might not pass that test.
All right, back to New Orleans and extortion.
Not
it's juicy.
Not
it's
a good not situation. It sounds pretty scary.
He's getting it's a bad thing going on with the Honey Badger because this is what a lot of these guys face. When you have a lot of money, you face a lot of people that want you and your money.
I find too, and this is just I think common among all athletes, not just NFL athletes, is you have a lot of money and it's in the public eye and people suddenly know it. So of course people are going to try to take advantage of you, and I think it makes them trust you less. And that's tough, I think, too, when you're working in the media and you're, you know, I think part of the job when you're in the media is to gain a little bit of trust where a player feels comfortable talking to you about something and has trust that you're not going to go and say something that you're not supposed to and they'll get found out. And again, I just think this adds to the distrust with professional athletes, and it's just an unfortunate situation. It feels like, you know, it's awful, awful stuff where you're getting these scary texts. And you mentioned Tyron was in New Orleans this weekend doing his kickball charity benefit.
What are they doing with this guy?
He's getting engaged. It just seems like, again, a psycho unrelated.
Distant relative, I mean. It's
somewhat related to him a little bit, yeah. And that's unfortunate. And that's all I think you can really say about it.
Yeah, I mean, I hate seeing that stuff when that's on there. But it is out there, and it's what people are talking about. But it sounds like, you know, someone's out to. But, again, I think a lot of guys face this kind of deal. It doesn't often go public. But I guarantee you. They get a lot of – I guarantee when people get new contracts, and Major League Baseball players probably deal with this too, you get all this money, and you get people that say they have something on you, and they want and they try to extort you.
I think, too, some people that are athletes and are fortunate enough to make it to the bigs, whether it be in baseball, basketball, football, whatever, they come from okay backgrounds. But there's other people that don't come from the best backgrounds, and – again, I think especially in those cases, so say you come from a poor background, not that I know the deep stuff about Tyron Matthew, but I did watch something on Frank Clark. I'm sure there's people that have been in Frank Clark's life, came from a history of a little bit of poverty that try to take advantage of him, and it's just not cool, and you just wish it didn't happen, but that's life. I mean, I think there's those type of people out there that you just have to deal with.
People that busted their humps to get to where they're at. Mm-hmm. But OTA is going on this week. Thursday's open media session there. Wonder who they're going to try to have. They'll try Mahomes.
Mahomes and Reed, they are scheduled to speak every
Honey
Thursday.
Honey Badger, probably.
Yeah.
When's Spags going to talk? Aren't you curious to hear from Spags, what he thinks about this defense? He's not – I mean, he did the press conference and everything, but, I mean, I'm looking forward to hearing him every week. We heard Bob Sutton, and that wasn't exactly riveting each and every week. To me, Spag seems a little bit more fun, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and so, well, Bob was a little bit long-winded, and so the assistant coaches, they speak every week, but they're only up there for a certain amount of time. Normally, you can only get three or four questions with Bob because he would take up the whole time. I'm excited to talk to Spags. You know, I wish Bob all the luck.
Great, are you going to call him Spags?
Great guy. I think that's what he just goes by. You mean you've heard Veach and Reed calling him that. And again, yeah. We've had so far one conference call with Spags, and the answers were pretty good. And I've said this before, I think, on the show. He kind of looks like my dad, and again, a Massachusetts accent, a distant cousin from New York, because he kind of like sounds like him too. So I'm going to struggle a little bit by not calling Spags dad. But no, I mean, in all seriousness, I'm looking forward to talking with
him. You should just do it.
Hey, Dad.
Just to make it awkward.
What's the defense going to be like?
I guarantee you they maybe won't be laughing at him like they did Sutton.
No. No, I think he commands respect, and you could tell, I think, from just some of the words of the players and just some of the fieriness that you saw at rookie minicamp. This is a whole new deal. This is a whole new deal this time.
I asked Craig Stout this question, and I said, what's been the biggest acquisition of the Chiefs in this offseason? Was it Spagnuolo and his staff? I'm including the whole staff with it. Honey Badger, Frank Clark. Who makes the biggest difference this year?
I think it's... You know, that's a tough question. I think it's a combo of the two. I'm going to say Tyron Matthew. I think they both are going to lead. But if you're looking for one leader of the locker room that's going to impact other players and make them better, it's Tyrann Mathieu. The first thing that he tweeted, not that Twitter is everything, but after the Chiefs acquired Darren Lee for a sixth rounder, is watch what I do with this kid. Watch me bring him up, because a lot of people probably consider him a bust at this point. And so Tyrann Mathieu's taking that a little bit personally already and is going to make the most out of him. And so to me, when you're impacting other players, I think Frank Clark will play a role in that too. But for me, I think Matthew is the clear leader of that room, and he's going to make sure that he's getting the most out of these guys.
He was voted team captain all of 2 weeks when he went to Houston last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it showed the respect that he commanded right there. And you got the quarterback, the MVP, tweeting out pictures of an actual honey badger, you know, the night when all the rumors came out that he signed. It shows you the interest. I mean, Mahomes does this with everybody. And, like, he was even tweeting to Darren Lee and everything else. I think that's kind of cool, because you hear what's going on in Pittsburgh and Big Ben and Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
I think when your quarterback relates, because Pat's total millennial, like, social media, and he hits people up all the time. I think that's kind of cool that he does that.
He's funny, and he's got, like, a little bit of a funny side, but he's like that jock that is just more athletic than you and just not afraid to tell you. Like, he's got that... He's not really that humorous. I mean, there's a little bit of a funny side to him, but I think he's just more like jock guy than anyone else. That you look in the locker room and this guy just knows he's better than you, and he's going to tell you about it. And that's fun. You only see it sometimes, because I don't think he wants to come out like that in the media, but you see it on social media and when he has interactions with teammates, and really occasionally in the game, when he makes a big play and he's flexing, like, you can tell this guy's a gamer.
I think he's trying very, very hard to remain humble.
Right, exactly.
But when
yes.
you come in and you're, like, great from jump, it's really hard for a 23, 24-year-old guy to be like that.
And you see I wrote an article about it last year. I do this article the day after the game last year, at least, that was called The Re-Up. And there are moments that you see that competitiveness. And you can't hold it sometimes when you're in the game, where he's – barking and saying stop me then, and kissing his muscles and brushing his jersey off. I mean, this kid understands, like, don't get it wrong and don't get it twisted. He might be this darling in the media, but he knows how damn good he is, and I think that you got to love that if you're in Kansas City.
I'm looking at your website right now. Pete, from Good Morning Football, could we see Patrick Mahomes throw the ball 120 yards in the air?
Yeah,
mixed percentage. Not 100, but you said 120.
The one travesty that you have is there's no stadiums in the National Football League that have two football fields, like, vertically, and because then we'd be able to see if he could throw 200 yards.
Well, we can find out when he faces Josh Allen. It sounds like the bad boy's going to go down.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. I think we talked a little bit about earlier, if there's ever – I'm not so worried about him throwing his arm out in the game. It's let's make sure we warm up for this type of showdown. Like, that you have to warm up for.
Any of you guys catching what NFL Network's been doing at night? They've been showing these – like 97 and 98 quarterback challenges, when they all showed up. I mean, like, Brett Favre was in it, and Steve Young, and Jim Harbaugh, you know, and when they were, every quarterback in the league was doing, like, they'd all show up and participate this at Disney World.
It's like the OG dunk contest.
And they were doing the longest throw. Like, Favre threw it 74 yards, and everybody was, like, bowing down, thinking it was, like, awesome when Favre threw this ball. But the NFL Network's been showing a lot of this, because, like, everybody showed up. And I don't think nowadays everybody would show up.
Nobody would show up.
But wouldn't it be fun, like, Mahomes and these guys and Rodgers?
I think the young guys would. But then it'd be like what you see with, like, the slam dunk contest. You do it young, and then after you do it a couple times, you're done with it.
It sounds like a made-for-TV.
It's like when Travis Kelce would make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
He used to love going to the Pro Bowl. From what you would hear, he'd have the most fun. And I don't think he even went last year. I mean, you'd probably just get to a certain point where, like, it's fun, but I think you'd rather be using that time to relax.
Especially all the wear and tear he's got on his body. Yeah.
St. Louis just scored again. They're up 3-1 now on the Sharks. Game 6 in the Western Conference Finals. They say Derek Thomas had the most fun at the Pro Bowl. I guess Derek Thomas was the life of the party.
Yeah.
And Derek Thomas, my favorite all-time Chief. Who's yours, Pete? You have a favorite all-time?
I'm going to be boring here and probably go Mahomes, because he's making my career right now. So I appreciate that, Pat. I get that.
Who's your favorite all-time?
It's Mahomes, because I finally got my quarterback.
All right, take Mahomes out of the equation. Who is it?
Man, probably DT.
Okay.
My favorite player, I think, to talk to in a locker room so far.
I'm asking who your favorite player is, Pete.
It's probably DJ. DJ's been on. DJ was
That's a lot of people's favorite.
Great guy.
Yeah, DJ was a really cool dude.
That was my favorite current Chief.
Chris Jones is fun to talk to.
Because I remember Henry asked me that question when he got here. He said, who's your favorite Chief? And I said, DJ is. This is, you know, years ago. But I said, DJ's my favorite.
I was a big fan of Priest Holmes, too.
Before I moved to Kansas City.
I liked LJ.
Before I moved to Kansas City, I used to love Jamal from afar. I just thought that there was nothing like Jamal.
He was a very fascinating human being.
Yeah, just incredible.
And he's got a great story.
Yeah.
He's got an absolutely
great story. He's got Special Olympics background.
It's a great story.
Broke through. And
great story by Jamal Charles.
Yeah.
Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. I know I go into your website because I keep up with all Chiefs information.
We'll be updating it tomorrow, arrowheadpride.com.
So between 610 Sports Radio, where you can hear Pete and his podcast as well. You want to shout out
your
podcast?
Yeah, Call It in the Air, the 435 Podcast Network. We've just recorded a new episode tonight talking a little bit about just the struggles of women's sports breaking through and the struggle. You know, Allie Trost, who writes for us at arrowheadpride.com, talked a little bit about working as a woman in the media industry. So a really interesting podcast coming out. Should be tomorrow, as long as our guy Hartzell from 98.5 The Buzz gets through it.
Might be a good Thursday.
96.5 The Buzz.
Sorry about that. Got to get the
You're numbers. Combining The Rock with The Buzz.
Listen, that's
Buzz
what
Rock.
Is it 98.9 The Buzz?
98.5, I said. 96.
He's combining The Buzz with The Rock.
What station is this again?
610.
What are we on?
610 Sports Radio.
387.
Well, it's been Arrowhead Pride Radio lately, too. It always is.
913.
Matt Lane, Ken Swanson, Craig Stout, and I'm all about arrowheadpride.com. Thanks a lot, Pete.
Where about you, Jack?
I enjoyed you coming in and stepping with me. Sammy Watkins has been in the news a lot lately. Why? That's what I'm a question I'm going to ask myself. Well, actually, I'm going to talk to myself next segment. Why is Sammy Watkins talking, and why do
help
people want to hear Sammy
I'll
Watkins?
Help him out next segment.
Please help me out next.
Bank at Night. Kansas City, we love our Royals. We love our Chiefs. We love Sporting KC. And we love our respective alma maters. You know what we don't care about? The Yankees and the Patriots.
I am smarter and better than others because I am from Boston.
That's why we're now live and local all day Saturday starting at 10 a.m. When you're taking the kids to soccer practice, we're live. Running an errand, we're live. No more national sports talk that you don't care about. Working weekends with you, KC. Our teams, our town. 610 Sports Radio. Royals baseball all season long, exclusively on 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Bink and I, Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero with me as well, producing the operation. Always good talking Arrowhead Pride. I can sit here and talk football, Chris. I like talking football with you. I like to argue with you. I like to talk to Pete. I like to argue with Pete from time to time, too. You know, I'm not going to agree with everything Pete says all the time. You know, I like his stuff. I like what he does. But, you know, I'll argue with Pete. He's still a big Dorsey guy more than anything else. But
I think a lot of people bothers me. I think a lot of people are still kind of a little iffy about Veach, especially considering how the last draft turned out.
I used to be a big Dorsey guy. I really was. But he did get out of control with the salary cap. But I like it to a guy that kind of turns the checkbook over to his wife. You know, and expenditures get a little too much. Like, he didn't manage that cap, and you've got to be able to manage that cap. But I'll tell you who carries the biggest stick out there, Chris. It's not getting trouble again.
Well, we dumped it the first time, so we're good.
Let's be careful here. It's Pat Mahomes. I mean, if Pat Mahomes, he's too nice of a guy to say anything, but he's also the most competitive guy you'll see there. And he told those guys at halftime, too, of that Patriots game. He goes, we're going to go out there and score 31 points the second half. We're going to score 30 points the second. And they did. And he goes out there the second half and kind of guided the team. But Pat had to feel frustrated like he was at Tech, that he had to score a touchdown every time he was on the field. And I don't know who did things. I mean, we will never know. Was it Andy Reid? Was it Pat Mahomes? Did Pat Mahomes finally go to Andy and say, hey, man, we've got to have a change. We've got to change this defense up. Or was it just Andy Reid? And
it was
or was it Clark Hunt that said, hey, man, we got to fix this defense? Because, I mean, they wiped the whole defense out. The only guy that survived was Britt Reid, Andy's son.
I think
that was the only one.
I think it was Andy that did all that. I don't think his personality doesn't strike me like the guy who's going to go tell coach what to do.
You mean like Manning did in Denver? Yeah, or like Eli Manning, or Robert
Griffin III, where he spoke to Mike Shanahan and said, this is unacceptable. Yeah. I certainly don't think.
Man, you got to have some swag. Yeah, you do. Your high don't count.
Yeah, you got to be really spoiled if you're going to go up to the coach and tell them that this play calling is unacceptable.
No.
So I don't think he's – I think this was Andy Reid identifying the situation. Clark Hunt, to me, is detached completely from the football side of things. The only thing he wants is let me know if you want to trade the first round pick, and we'll, you know, I'll, with my limited football knowledge, I'll go over there and see if it's a good trade or not. But I think what it comes down to is it was Andy Reid realizing that he can win a Super Bowl now. And I think for him, the thing that burns him the most is the fact that he's never won the big one. He's gotten close, but he's never won the big one. And I think that's the one thing that he feels like he has to do in order to really accomplish the goals that he set for himself. And I think that's the reason why he made that change, even though I think that it probably hurt him a lot to let his friend Bob Sutton go.
No, I'm sure it was, because he's loyal, you know, to a T, and there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes you got to separate business.
Sometimes that your loyalty can hurt you.
I mean, he sits seventh all time in coaches' playoff wins in regular season. Seventh all time. He didn't have that ring. And I think not having that actually, you know what? I kind of like it. I'm kind of glad he didn't win it in Philly. You know why? Because I want that hunger to still be there. You know, because Andy knows, you know, you don't want to be Schottenheimer. Will Schottenheimer ever get into Canton? I don't know. He never won the ring. He came on the doorstep a couple times with Cleveland. John Elway kind of squashed that with the drive and the Beiner fumble. But Reed, to me, kind of understands his place in NFL lore. And not only that, Chris, he's always been known as the quarterback whisperer. Like, if Mahomes would have came here and failed, that would have gone on his resume forever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he wouldn't have lived that one down.
Here, Andy Reid had a top 10 quarterback, and he didn't do anything with him. But I think that Mahomes has helped the Reid legacy that much more, because I think it keeps him coaching, maybe even another contract after this one, because that whole quarterback-coach combination, how important is it? Because if he comes here and wins a ring, and then Pat goes on and wins three more without him, you know, what do you say? Or did Andy Reid get him in his prime? Did he get him ready to go? But I think that Mahomes last year really helped the legacy of Andy Reid, because we were all watching to see what he would do as the quarterback whisperer that he's known for. He's the one that helped Gruden set up that quarterback camp that he used to do. You know, when he'd interview all those quarterbacks, I think Andy Reid was a part of that. I think Gruden gave him credit for it.
Yeah, I think mainly not simply just because of the fact that Mahomes was, like, you know, really good, but also the fact that he was a guy that a lot of people were looking at as like a second or third round quarterback. And they moved up 17 spots to get him above, you know, they decided to take him instead of Deshaun Watson, the guy that I think everybody thought this is the best quarterback in this draft class. And so the fact that he decided that he was going to not take Deshaun Watson, trade up 17 spots to take the guy that a lot of people thought might even be available to them at 27, if not second, third round, and replace his quarterback that had gotten him to the playoffs 4 out of 5 years and get him in, and that guy wins an MVP. That's something that, I mean, as much as Mahomes himself, really talented, really good, is very much a part of that, people are going to attribute that to Andy Reid, because Andy Reid is the one that found him, and Andy Reid is the one that put the perfect pieces around him and the perfect system to allow him to be great at this level.
And I think Deshaun Watson is a good quarterback. I do. And
yeah, I do
if
too.
If he was with Andy Reid, I mean, I think Bill O'Brien's good with Deshaun Watson, and we'll see him this year. Deshaun Watson, I think, is one of these quarterbacks that we're going to see a lot. I think it's going to be Mayfield, and I think it's going to be Deshaun. I think Andrew Luck for the next 5 or 6 years. I think that's kind of what we're going to be looking at when Phillip Rivers retires. But the Deshaun Watson thing is something we were watching too. You know, you're watching that with Mahomes. You know, did the Chiefs make the right decision? I mean, there were several things that you were watching when they drafted Mahomes. I was always a Mahomes guy. You know my feelings on this from the beginning.
Yeah, I remember.
I liked him.
I wasn't the biggest fan of him, but when they made the move, I was like, okay, I'm going to trust the guy that gets paid to do it.
Yeah, but I could say I was on the train. I can claim that.
All your mock drafts had him going one to the Chiefs.
And I also, not to pat myself on the back, when Whit Merrifield was still in the minors, I used to ask Vern all the time down in Arizona, how's my guy Whit doing? He only leads Major League Baseball in hits and stolen bases. Can I write about that one too? Yeah, I have my misses. But when I hit big.
What other hits do you have? What other
it
hits
didn't matter.
Do you have?
Pat it yourself doesn't matter. On the back some more. It doesn't matter. It does not matter.
You pat yourself on the back
some
more,
you know, we didn't get to Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins.
We didn't.
What is up with Sammy Watkins? We discuss him next.
Big at Night. Download the radio.com app to listen to 610 Sports Radio wherever you are.
Man, I've had a lot of fun tonight. Damn, I'm hungry. That wing tuck got me.
See, that's why I had some Popeyes before we got
on
the air.
I saw you get the chicken and the biscuit. Mm-hmm. Those biscuits are
nominal. They're dry, but
those are good.
No, the best ones are Popeyes. Not Popeyes, but Church's.
Okay.
All right,
yeah,
honey glaze.
Okay, it's mm-hmm. good too.
The Popeyes ones are like really dry, so mm-hmm. you have to like wash it down with something real quick, otherwise you're gonna die of thirst.
What's she doing with the cold beer? It's burger night tonight, my favorite establishment. $6 burgers. I love it. Love burger night, buddy. Buffalo wing sauce on a burger. Can't beat that.
It's really late for a burger.
You know what, though? This is what happens when you work it. I've had a lot of fun tonight. I've had a ton of fun tonight. I love arguing with you and Pete and everything else. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, I appreciate it. We were going to, I was going to end up doing Royals baseball tonight, and the weather decided to change the plans tonight.
Royals rained out in St. Louis. Again, man, is that series kind of, I mean, it used to be a big-time series we look forward to, because I heard people talk about the rivalries, and it's just not there. I mean, the rivalry, you know, it's kind of with the White Sox and Tim Anderson, you know, the whole back and forth when Keller hit him and stuff like that. I still think there's going to be a little fireworks when the Royals play the White Sox. But Keller tomorrow in game one at 12:15 at 6:45 is Homer Bailey. A doubleheader tomorrow, so set your radio on 610 Sports when you're at work, whatever you're doing, because we'll carry those games for you. Of course, we'll carry every game in baseball, and the radio is awesome. So doubleheader tomorrow in St. Louis before the Royals return to face the injured but good New York Yankees. Speaking of the Royals, our number one pick last year, Brady Singer, didn't pitch at the end of last year. Remember the Royals kind of shut him down?
Yeah.
Coar still pitched, and Coar went in the College World Series, Coar's throwing like 121 pitches, and I'm sitting here going, man, what are the Royals thinking? I mean, I think they like it when their guys are in the College World Series, or do they? Because their arms get used a lot once they get to Omaha, and once you draft them, yeah, I don't know if you want them to.
I mean, that first year is a throwaway year anyways. It's just a matter of you just throw them out there to see what they got. Ask Brandon Finnegan. Yeah, but that was the exception to the rule, though. Most of those guys that come out of college don't get called up that quickly.
Well, one thing is for sure is the Royals have pitching talent galore in Wilmington now. That's where Singer is, Coar, Daniel Lynch. Two of those picks were picks 33 and 34 they got for losing Hosmer and Kane. That's who they got. And
Chris Bubich just got called up.
And Bubich now got called up from Lexington. By the way, the former manager Lexington that won a title with them in the South Atlantic League last year, Scott Thurman, he's in Wilmington now. Get this. This is from Jeffrey Flanagan. MLB Pipeline tweeted this out. Royals number one prospect in the first rounder last year threw 62 of 91 pitches for strikes. Made longest start of his minor league career. He goes 7 innings. Extended scoreless streak to 13 innings. So the Royals number one prospect, Brady Singer, doing some good things in Wilmington. One guy I wanted to talk about, though, is Sammy Watkins. Interesting, interesting guy. I love his talent. I love Sammy Watkins in college. I liked his attitude, not his attitude in Buffalo, but I liked his attitude when he got to L.A. And he said, I just want to win. I just want to contribute. His last year in L.A. actually had 8 touchdowns, but he only had 39 catches. He was kind of an afterthought with that offense for the Rams, but he did lead them in touchdowns that year, so he found a way to the end zone. But he's not had more than 40 catches in the last 3 years. Not more than 40 catches. He only played in 9 starts last year, 14 starts the year before, only 8 the year before that. So he's oft injured. Sammy Watkins, but people were talking about a new Sammy, including himself. He was on Sirius XM NFL radio talking about how he's changing his outlook. He even tweeted about it. Sammy's feeling good about himself.
I think now I'm settled here. I know the offense. I know the coaches. I know everyone in the organization supporting me. So I got to give my all. And this offseason's just been good to correct my body on the things I need to correct. And the Chiefs staff's been great with just helping me tremendously with my body. I think this year, just I feel like I'm in college again or high school. My body's just holding up right. I just feel like it's the best time right now for the next, you know, never. I don't know how long I'm going to play, but the next 6 to 8 years is giving my all, put my heart, my soul, my energy, my spirit in the game. I just feel like the success will start coming once I change my attitude about it.
I hope you got a bunch of money. 3 years. $48 million when he came to the Kansas City Chiefs. Signing bonus of $21 million. Average salary, $16 million. I would hope that would have been your attitude last year. But for some reason, it was Sammy Watkins' day yesterday, Chris. And even NFL Network was talking about it with Peter Schrager. Why all this buzz on Sammy Watkins?
I think for me, it would be the team goals, and that's getting to the Super Bowl. That's really not only success, but I feel like the expectation right now in Kansas City. And I like throwing things out here early on.
Do it.
I'm hearing stuff, guys, and I know we've been down this road.
You are?
Sammy Watkins looks incredible.
Okay.
And that could just be spin.
I like this road.
That could just be spin, but it's from the local guys, and it's also from people that know the organization very well, saying Sammy's finally in the best shape of his life. that if there is a Tyreek Hill issue, if Tyreek Hill's not going to be on the field, if they have to miss him, Sammy Watkins is ready to make that next step. So let's suggest that Sammy Watkins steps up. Let's suggest that Tyreek Hill is on the field. Let's suggest that the running back situation is just fine. And let's suggest that defense gets even better. Super Bowl or bust. That is success for Patrick Mahomes in 2019.
It was Peter Schrager, NFL Network. And here's the thing. I don't want to hear best shape of your life when you're making $16 million. This guy was the fourth overall selection in the NFL draft. You're a top four pick, Chris. You should already be in the best shape of your life. I mean, that's fine. It's good news. You want to hear it because he needs to step up because I think Tyreek's going to miss a few games. And this is your number one wide receiver. Now, I liked his yards after catch last year, even though his yards per reception was down to 13 yards per reception last year. It's normally in the 15-2, 15-4 area. That was the lowest in his career, but his catch ratio was the best of his career. But again, it was just 39 catches.
I think the Chiefs are leaking these details out to Schrags. I think Schrags has been compromised.
Well, he said the local guy. I mean, who's really?
There's no local guy that was.
What local guy is talking up Sammy
Walker? The local guy was the Chiefs PR telling him, hey, Sammy's looking really good.
When we see everything, have you heard anybody talking to Sammy?
Nobody's talking about
Sammy.
You know
why we haven't seen him?
Exactly.
We're not allowed to go toe-tays till Thursday.
No, I'm telling you, this was something that the Chiefs leaked out. Here's the thing. I feel like, call me conspiracy theorist, I think the Chiefs are trying to do whatever they can. This whole offseason, ever since the Tyreek Hill situation happened, they have done everything they can to try to distract us from the Tyreek Hill situation. I think the 3 one-day contracts that they have had former players sign. Three. Not one. Three.
I think I enjoyed the Bowen the best.
Three. No, that was trash. He caught that. Only reason why he caught that pass is because there was no defender over there to play defense on him.
Could you imagine if he would have dropped it?
Oh, yeah. It would have been pure doing it. If they'd have put anybody on him to cover him, he'd have dropped that damn ball.
He had the shades on, too, right?
Yeah. They could have at least put him in a jersey and a helmet or something.
Jamal took the hand off.
Yeah. Like, Jamal could have put on some pads, too, and just, you know, made a cut and run through the line. But they are trying to distract us from the Tyreek situation. There's no reason for us to talk about Sammy Watkins in May. You should be in the best shape of your life. You should be feeling great.
You're damn
in
right.
May.
The contract he got, he should have been in the best shape of his life coming in last year. And not only that, he should have done it his first year in Buffalo when you're the fourth overall pick.
Every player who is in their mid-20s should feel like they're in the best shape of their life when they're in May.
Like Breland Speaks?
Yeah, well, Breland Speaks is a different story. He's going to be in the best shape in his life when he gets to training camp. Otherwise, he got some problems. He'll be riding on that damn bike all
camp. Unless he switched positions, we'll find out.
Unless he switched positions. They might have to switch positions anyways because he might not be able to make it to camp.
Yeah, as defensive he ate his way onto the line.
Yeah, they might have to switch him involuntarily. but like, to me, it just feels like they are trying to do whatever they can to create some spin that's positive for the organization. Because let's be honest, the Chiefs have taken a lot of hits recently. They have been getting killed by the media. The Tyreek situation wasn't very good. Obviously, I think we kind of reacted a little bit with very little information, and I feel like there needs to be some nuance in that discussion. But there was a lot of negative reaction to that, and because of that, the Chiefs want anything that they possibly can to so that the story of the 2019 NFL season is not, well, the Chiefs have an abuser on their team. The story is the Chiefs might win the Super Bowl this year. People should watch them on television because they're exciting. So the Chiefs are trying to do whatever they can to create some positive spin. And if it includes telling Pete Schrags, hey, go on Good Morning Football and tell everybody that Sammy Watkins is in the best shape of his career, then that's what they're going
to
do. I mean,
hell, leak it to me. I would have come on.
Yeah, hey, I mean,
I've heard from sources.
Yeah,
best shape
next
of his
thing
life.
You know, I mean, next thing you know, somebody's going to, it's going to get leaked out that someone else is in the best shape of their life, or someone's going to, Juan Thornhill, they think this kid might be in the Pro Bowl this year,
well,
or something
Breland.
Like that. Oh, yeah, it's not going to be Breland, but it'll be somebody. They're going to leak some information out here soon, and we're going to get some more positive spin here soon.
You know, we should be excited. I'm excited. I'm actually excited about the Chiefs season. I really am, because I love these defensive changes. I do. I love the defensive changes the Kansas City Chiefs have made. And we have to be talking. We're on the doorstep of the Super Bowl. In my opinion, Chiefs would have beat the Rams second time around. That was a different Rams team than what they saw.
Yeah, that season. Offense was trash.
It was. And the Saints should have been there anyway, not the Rams. Huge thanks to Craig Stout, defensive film analyst, arrowheadpride.com. Huge thanks to Pete Sweeney for stopping in studio. Huge thanks to Chris Inocero. I enjoyed this, Chris.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Well, You work.
I mean, I was scheduled to do it anyways, but I appreciate you having me.
You and I were kind of forced together, you know?
Yeah, it was. It was not by choice.
But we had fun.
What are you doing? I have a lot of fun.
I had a lot of fun. All right, we'll see you guys Thursday night. Royals baseball doubleheader tomorrow.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.